And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys Show. That's it.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Had a little bit of fun. Chef Schultz from the Culinary School. Great guy. Big supporter of the Grillin' Guys and teaches knife skills. So we've been talking about knives for most of the show. No reason to stop. Now, Chaz and I have been working on this thing for a while, off and on, and here we are. So, Chaz, you've made a little list of knives that are in your chef's role. Not everybody's a chef, but you should probably have some of these knives, right?
Well, a chef's role, you know, you see these guys on TV and stuff, and they all have their little leather roll that they roll out.
Right.
For you, it might be that block
right
that's next to the stove, or you might have a little kit that you take out to the grill. And what do you really need in there?
Right.
And the chef's role also goes into how do you store your knife so it doesn't get banged up.
Right, because two knives rubbing together will dull each other. It's steel sharpens steel in the Bible, but it doesn't work that way in your knife drawer.
Yeah, it's steel at the proper angle.
Right, yeah,
will exactly get sharp. But some of the things that I keep in my chef's role, obviously a nice big 10 to 12 inch chef's knife. It is the go-to workhorse of the board.
Right.
Whether you're doing protein or vegetables or whatever, if you went over to see Tim Sobey and you bought a nice big piece of meat, you got to do a little trimming on it or whatever stuff, you're going to grab the chef's knife.
Right.
Real quick.
Right.
You got to chop up the onion. You got to chop up some of the other things. You're going to go to that chef's knife. It's great. You're smashing the garlic.
Right. It's a little heavier. Right. You get a clove of garlic. It's got the paper on it still. You turn that thing flat ways. Hit it on the top. It'll smush that garlic enough that you can peel the paper off, dice it up with the rest of the knife.
And yeah, you learn how to use that. It is the workhorse. But there are also some special ones that you need. A boning knife.
Right.
Boning knife is very handy if you've got a chicken to cut up.
Right.
If you've got another piece of meat that's got a bone in it that you need to work around the bone, it's a little more limber. It's a little thinner. It's got a sharper point on it. It's not that big wide body knife.
Right. It doesn't have a big heavy tail on it. There's the point in the tail of the knife right before the hand. And in a chef's knife, that tail could be an inch and a half, 2 inches tall. This boning knife may be down to like an inch.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's really so you can get between those bones or get the meat off the bone if you're deboning chicken thighs or something like that.
Right. And it's not as heavy. It's you got more dexterity with it.
Right. And it's for that job.
Right.
Now, I'm also going to bring along, obviously, a paring knife.
Right.
And we were talking off air about paring knife, and that's a little short knife that you learn to do detail work with. Whether you're popping the core out of a tomato.
Right.
Maybe you're peeling a tomato real quick. Whatever it is, just little detail work, that paring knife.
Right.
Is the go-to for that.
And like we talked about off air there, is that you see chefs on TV. I'm a Food Network junkie and lots of YouTubes. Well, they'll have the handle of that knife in their first three fingers, and then they're pinching the first like half inch of the blade between their index finger and their thumb so that they've got complete dexterity with that thing. And they're flashing that thing around and maybe only using the last inch and a half of that knife tip.
Yeah, because it's for that detail work.
Right.
And that's really good.
Right.
Now, other knives that I'm going to definitely carry because we got grills and smokers and
right
stuff like that, a slicing knife.
Right.
And a slicing knife is probably the longest knife you're going to have in there. And that's so that you can get a real nice long draw, single motion, to get a real nice smooth cut. Your presentation and up a brisket.
Right.
Or maybe you've done a nice roulade roll or something like that.
Right.
you know, porchetta or something like that. And you want a nice, smooth, long slice.
And I found that knife is pretty flexible, too. I mean, front to back, I think it doesn't get its day for what it's a specialty knife, but boy, when you need that for the things you just described, it is the knife. There's no substitute for that long slicing knife.
It's thin, and you're slicing cooked meat.
Right.
It's already cooked down tender and lovely.
Right.
You take a chef's knife, you're going to kind of mash and mangle up your brisket.
Right.
But that slicing knife is real thin, and it's just that long draw for it.
And that's a straight knife. Doesn't have any curl on it. And it's front to back.
Little scallops on it and stuff.
Front to back, though, from the heel to the nose, it's all the same height.
Yeah, about a half inch.
Right.
Probably 14, 18 inches long.
Right. And if you took it, you could wobble it. Because it's got a little bit of flexibility. It's not a hardened knife.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, I'm also going to throw a bread knife in there.
Sure.
Because there's nothing like having a, you know, good slice of bread, mm-hmm. you know, some French roll or something, you toast on the grill or whatever.
Right.
It's all going to go in there. Now, there's a couple other things.
That's a serrated knife, right?
That's a serrated knife. And it's meant to cut bread.
Grab a little bit to get through the crust.
It's a saw. Okay. Right. And that's going to cut your bread without crushing the bread.
Right.
Where a chef's knife might crush it down, this is going to saw. I mean, it's like a big old crosscut saw you see the lumberjacks use, right. but this is a kitchen version. And you can cut your bread very nice with that without mashing it down.
Right.
Because if you baked your own bread, like, you know, we throw some bread in a Dutch oven on the grill.
Right.
I don't want to ruin it by mashing it all down.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Now, some other things you want to keep in there is definitely a steel.
Right.
And these honing steels are just for knife maintenance.
Yep.
They're not a sharpener. Now, the best examples I've ever seen is on a microscopic level, they show you the edge of a knife.
Okay.
And it looks like a sawtooth.
Right.
Because there's these, what they call feathers on the edge. Mm-hmm. Well, as you use it, those feathers get bent. And now the steel, at that proper angle, by around 20 degrees, you draw that away from you so that you're pulling and lining those feathers back up on that knife edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good maintenance thing.
And it's not 50 of those. It's two or three swipes and you're done.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with taking a little sanitizer rag, wiping your knife down, and then doing a quick steel on it.
Right.
And that steel is pretty durable. You can throw it in the dish machine. You can wash it with the other dishes.
Right.
Keep it clean, just like everything, and work very nice and treat your knife nice.
Right. Right.
Then the other one is that, because you and I run into those knives that our friends unfortunately have, that you're not sure which side's supposed to be sharp. I do carry a sharpener.
Right.
It's not a big fancy one. I carry a stone. I carry a little pocket sharpener so that I can do a little emergency repair work.
Right.
We've all been to that buddy's cabin that has a drawer full of knives banging around.
And you know, I'm not boasting. I'm just saying, when you go there and you're a grilling guy, they're like, you're cooking. And
exactly.
I'm like, oh, all right, I'm cooking. So then it's like, well, what do we got? Well, what we've got is a bunch of butter knives that he calls butcher knives. And they suck because they're the ones that they wore out at home. And they took them to the cottage because they're not up there much. But then when you're there, they want you to perform.
Or they bought them at Walmart.
Right, exactly, because they're at the cottage and we're not up there much. So I tend to anticipate things like you do. And I always have three or four knives. Whenever I'm going anywhere like that, I bring my own.
Now, because I'm an ice fishing guy.
Right.
In the truck, I've got 2 to 3 fillet knives with me as well.
Right, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment.
Oh, yeah.
Because we want to talk a little bit of ice fishing and finish with some fillet and fish.
Important thing about storing your knives.
Yeah.
If that knife came with a scabbard, keep that scabbard. The scabbard's that hard plastic or leather or whatever. It's a protective sheath to go over it. I mean, it's the same reason that you fold up your pocket knife before you put it in your pocket.
Yeah, not just because you don't want to cut yourself. Right.
Right. So you want to take care of that knife. Treat it. I mean, a lot of these knives are expensive.
Sure they are.
You know, we call Corey. I'm expecting to see a 3-digit number as a starting spot.
Exactly. We didn't ask him on that because it's kind of like how much the cars cost, right? But at the end of the day, you're not getting anything custom made that isn't going to cost you a little bit. But
and even if you go down to one of the local chef supply stores or Gordon Foods or wherever it is, and you pick up a quality kitchen commercial knife,
right?
You're spending some bucks.
Yes, you are. Rightfully so. All right, we're going to bring this train to the station. We're going to go back to the ice fishing and maybe fillet a fish. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Time for some man law. Since Bob's not here, I don't have his magic list of them, so I went to a good source of rules, and that's one of my favorite shows, NCIS. One of the characters on there, Gibbs, has his set of rules and such, and I love his rule 9. Never leave the house without a knife.
And you don't have to carry one on your person if you don't want to. Sometimes they're a little big. It's inappropriate to have it hanging on your belt or whatever, but have it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
in
what consoles of trucks are for. That's what pockets are for in jackets. But I don't care if it's just a 3-inch blade that, you know, is a folding knife or whatever. I'm not talking anything that's
You might
huge.
Have to peel an apple.
Right.
You might hit a deer and have to gut the deer on the side of the road.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
You might get to a place and the guy serves you a steak that's so hard.
Right.
And his butter knife does not cut it. You got to have your own.
Here's my favorite. I might be driving down the road and get the munchies, and I stop and buy a ring of pickled bologna and a block of cheese and a pack of crackers, right? I can't tell you how many times I've driven down the road with one knee on the steering wheel while I'm cutting my bologna and cheese. Man, come on. You got to have a knife with you.
You got to have a knife
with
you. And it's a tool.
Right, it is.
And anybody that calls it a weapon, I ain't in the war.
Right.
This is a tool that a man knows how to use.
Right.
And he carries what he's comfortable with.
So let's talk about fillet knives, because you're our consummate ice fisherman, and you're oftentimes filleting semi-frozen fish, probably letting them thaw out most of the time, but once in a while.
Yeah, they're going to be cold because they're ice fishing, you know, and we're going to be out there catching the fish, and quite often they freeze. We try and thaw them out when we come back. But still, you need to clean a fish, and you want to clean it to get the most meat off it possible.
Right.
And you need the fillet knife you're comfortable with. Now, I'm catching bluegill and crappie.
Right.
So my go-to is going to be a little 4-inch Rapella.
Right.
They see guys that say, oh, that thing's silly. Look at the one I got that's 14 inches long. I says, your fish is 8 inches long.
Right.
Yeah. Let's get serious about how big is the fillet.
Right.
And we keep those razor sharp, and they have a very, very thin, supple blade.
Yep.
So
and supple because you want to maybe bend it a little bit. When you get right behind that rib cage and you're pushing through to get that tail meat off of there, sometimes there's a little bow in that knife that you want to get the right angle and the tips out of the fish. And the knife's
and
going through it.
You're
going
to pop through the pin bones, go up and over the ribs is how I do them. But then you're going to flip that fillet over, take that same knife, and pull the skin right off. Now, that's the way I do them.
Right.
Because when you scale fish, you don't want to do that at anybody's house because scales go everywhere.
Right. Yeah. So and all over you, too.
Skinning fish and having that knife well-maintained, sharp. Clean.
Now, for me, when I was a younger man, I used to go fishing with a couple guys. It was actually a guy and his dad, my buddy Big Weed and his dad, Walt. And My knife skills were terrible when I was in high school, right? So what they did is, because I'd butcher the fish. Since then, I've figured it out. But I'd butcher the fish. So they would clean the fish, and they'd flip them over to me to skin them,
yep.
Right? Because I could, as the skinner, I could keep up with two guys filleting, right? And we'd go up to Drummond Island. We'd catch perch, and it was wonderful. But I always thought that a little bit of a dull knife was better, because if I didn't hold that angle just right, when I tried to run that skin and take the skin off the fish, I'd cut through the skin, and then it's a giant pain. So again, what it was is, it's all about the angle.
It's all about the angle.
It's all about the angle.
If you have trouble skinning a fish, get a fork, just a junky right. old fork, and use that to hold the skin. And if you keep it like a, think of like a slicing knife, and just go long draws with that, maybe a couple of them on a big crappie.
Right.
You know, you're going to get the most meat right off there.
Right. It leaves that skin just paper thin.
And then if you're good, you just pick up that skin with the tip of your knife and over into the trash.
Right, exactly. And go to the next one.
Go to the next one. It's right. Like you yeah. said, zip, zip, zip.
Yeah. Hey, Chaz, thanks so much for making time today and joining me here at the Grilling Guys. Barbecue Bob will be back next week. And
I think Bob will be jealous that
yeah,
we
talked
nice.
Yeah, he will. He missed it. But you know what? That is not anything he's missed. But, you know, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week to the Grilling Guys. Thanks for listening in. Chaz, cheers to you, brother. And catch a lot of fish this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, if you can't get there on time, you know, the podcast is always there, too.
All right. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.